Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. Intelligence is very much in the news these days, including, evidently, the wholesale compromise of much of our intelligence capabilities, at least in the electronic espionage space. Who better to talk to about that than a former Central Intelligence Agency senior official, Charles Sam Faddis, an extraordinary individual who has contributed mightily through his time in government to our security, notably as an operations officer in the clandestine services of the Central Intelligence Agency for some 20 years, also as the chief of the agency's Weapons of Mass Destruction Terrorism Unit. He is also the author of numerous books, including the relevant Beyond Repair, The Decline and Fall of the CIA. Sam Faddis, it's good to have you back. Welcome.
Hey, it's great to be here, Frank. Thank you very much.
Well, I'd like to get your reaction to the latest releases out of WikiLeaks, which seem to be compromising quite a bit of our sources and methods of intelligence in the highly technical space. Give us your thoughts on what's been done here and a damage assessment, if you can.
Yeah, well, the damage is potentially catastrophic. I mean, without trailing off into details of stuff we can't talk about, I guess this seems like a game to some people at WikiLeaks and other folks in the press, but it's not. Once we compromise techniques, we lose access, we lose intelligence, and the bottom line is people get killed as a consequence.
Lose lives. That's the point. This is another of these cases where when you hear about Samsung TVs being turned into collection devices and people being able to end run Signal and other encryption phone services, that immediately begin playing to fears that the CIA is using such techniques against us, infringing upon our privacy. As a longtime employee of the agency, what would you say to those concerns? And in particular, Sam, would you talk a little bit about the high likelihood, if not before now, certainly by now, other foreign entities are almost certainly making use of such techniques for the purpose of collecting against us?
Right. Well, as you know, I'm a big believer in privacy and individual rights. But the reality is, I mean, the Central Intelligence Agency is not running around collecting intelligence on American citizens. First of all, its charter is outside the United States. And your point is dead on. Every competent intelligence service in the world, certainly all the ones we're worried about, the Russians, the Chinese, et cetera, all have these kinds of capabilities. I mean, the bottom line is if you're sitting in a room with an electronic device and it's connected to a cell network or the internet and you think you are immune to being accessed, you're delusional. I mean, that you don't want somebody listening, get out of the room with the device.
Yeah. Even devices that are off, it seems, are subject to some of this kind of manipulation. So it's a challenge. The device has got to be someplace else, whether you're in the room or not. Let me ask you, Sam, about something you've written about recently, the surveillance of Donald Trump by what has come to be called the deep state. As, again, a former denizen of that enterprise, do you find credible the contention by the president that he was, in fact, surveilled by his predecessor? And what would you make of that from a point of view of privacy and the freedoms that we hold dear?
Well, if it's true, it's certainly very, very disturbing. And we're talking probably about criminal activity. I don't know enough about it to know what the basis is of that claim. I will say in regard to the deep state, I think it is undeniably true that we now, in effect, have a fourth branch of government composed of unelected officials. And instead of simply taking orders, they are trying to drive policy and they are trying to control the government themselves. That's incredibly disturbing because at the end of that road is the end of democracy if we keep going.
Well, and Donald Trump would simply be one of its victims in that case. I fear you're exactly right. Sam, you've also written about the ascendancy of Iran as a result of Barack Obama's policies. We'll be talking more about this momentarily with colleague Carolyn Glick as well, but I'd like to get your thoughts on the implications of that ascendancy.
Terrifying, in a word. We adopted a policy in 1979 after the fall of the Shah of containing the Iranians, confronting them at various points, playing with the idea of regime change. We have now abandoned that, and as a consequence, all across the Middle East, they are ascendant. And it is terrifying for our allies, incredibly destabilizing for the region. We have got to get this balance of power back where it needs to be and push the Iranians back in their box, or we are, in fact, going to end up in a war with them.
Do you anticipate, well, in a way you've just answered that question, that this isn't just a problem for our friends and regional interests? This is, in fact, a security threat to us as well.
Yeah, without question, it is a security threat to us. I mean, it is a massive strategic problem. This is not a small war somewhere that we can kind of pick or choose whether we want to pay attention to it. This is destabilizing in one of the most critical regions on the planet.
And is that of particular concern, given your background with weapons of mass destruction, because of the, well, certitude that the Iranians will have, in addition to chemical and biological weapons, nuclear weapons, in due course, if not in fairly short order?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, the entire Iran nuclear deal is a farce. It's not stopping them from getting nuclear weapons. All it did was hand them untold boatloads of cash to buy arms with, and they will inevitably, if we don't stop them, acquire nuclear weapons.
Yeah, and the means by which to deliver them over long distances. Hey, Sam, I noticed in your bio that you served as an assistant attorney general for the state of Washington. It was the attorney general of the state of Washington that, of course, brought to grief the first executive order that Donald Trump issued to try to exercise his authority over who comes into this country, specifically from seven problematic nations. Knowing what you do about the government of the state of Washington, the attorney general, the impetus behind that effort, and more to the point, what you know about the world and the kind of people who would love to come here to do us harm, what do you make of all of this, Sam? What should we make in particular of the present efforts to sort of recover from the setback in court at the hands of the attorney general of Washington state?
Well, I think it's a good thing that they decided to take two steps back, they being the Trump administration, and come up with an executive order that was a little more tightly drawn and prepared to stand legal challenges. I think that was wise. I find it very disconcerting that we have attorney generals, frankly, all over the country, including, I think, attorney general in my own state of Maryland, who seem to think that it's their job to try to obstruct the president of the United States and interfere in how we conduct foreign affairs and national security. I can't think of anything that is more clearly in the wheelhouse of the federal government and not something that the states should be trying to drive from their level. So very troubling.
And do you think especially that's the case because, as a general rule, there is a lack of understanding, let alone mastery, of the national security challenges that we are facing as a nation? Is it, in your experience in state government, is that typically a problem because it's simply not part of the portfolio of your average attorney general, for example?
Yeah, well, that's clearly the case. Nobody at that level is going to have the expertise to really understand the threats. But then clearly there's an ideological element here and where we're just ignoring reality. I mean, if I've got 1,000 Syrian refugees trying to come in the country, I have no doubt that most of them, you know, have no intention of doing harm when they get here. But the reality is I have zero capacity to actually fact check their stories. These fantasies about doing deep background checks are just that. You tell me you're a grocer from Aleppo. What is my capacity to confirm that story? None. There are no record systems. I have no relations with the Syrian government. The Syrian government doesn't even have access to that information. I mean, most of the time, all they do is ask these people questions and then accept their story. That doesn't constitute vetting.
Yeah. You know, what I've also been told, Sam Faddis, is that they typically, these refugees particularly, are given interviews by two other entities before they get to a federal government employee. One is the Refugee Division of the United Nations, and the other is the so-called voluntary agency that's bringing them into this country and paid to do so. So by the time the government gets their hands on these guys, they've probably been pretty well trained on how to not answer any questions that might be incriminating or keep them out. Sam, thank you so much for your service to our country. Again, Sam Faddis has been our guest. We are grateful to you for it and that you continue to render now through your writings and appearances in media. Check out his book, Beyond Repair, The Decline and Fall of the CIA. Thanks again, Sam. We'll talk with you soon. Next up, my colleague Jim Henson joins us from the Center for Security Policy. We'll talk about the executive order and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.